You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 1871 podcast with me, Mark Roach, and Johnny Hunt, my co-host. And this is the final episode of Series 2, Johnny. We're going to have a break after this, aren't we? Apart from when the big news comes in, which may or may not happen when one of us is away. So not quite sure what we're going to do about that. But we are planning to release an episode when we know who the new manager is going to be. So firstly, Johnny, we're going to come to that, aren't we? But last episode of Series 2, how are you feeling? We've had some great guests, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm knackered. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I am.
No, it's been brilliant. It really has. I'm glad we did it. I don't know how many episodes we've done. You probably know. A lot.
Yeah.
But I think they've been really good. I really love the, I think, the personal story stuff that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, the things from like people like Scott, Linvoy, and Brian, the fans won last night, and I probably a few more that I've missed. Yeah. It's not by being rude, just because they've been really, really powerful. And obviously our relegation special, which seems to be very popular. So, which else do you, the link there, we get popular and Reading get relegated. I don't know what that's about, but you know. But no, it's been brilliant. I think I don't know about yourself, but there's been so many enjoyable ones for me.
Yeah, we'll come to that. We'll do a quick recap. But on this episode, what we're going to do, we're going to catch up with the latest Reading FC news and tell you what we know, including about the new manager situation. So we will promise to tell you everything that we know. Might not take that long. and we're also going to take a look at the season ahead for Reading in League One, which will be the first in Tier 3 for 21 years since that Jamie Cureton goal against Brentford. That was literally the last game that we played in Tier 3 21 years ago. But obviously, Johnny, we can only start in one place, can't we? Chris Wilder. So look, I'm gonna ask you what you think. I'm going to say what I think. But look, here's what we know. And this is based on people that I've been talking to who are, I'm not going to say who they are, but there's two or three people who in one way, shape or form are in the know. And I trust them that what they're telling me, they know as being accurate. So based on that, here's what we know. So we do think that Chris Wilder is going to be Reading's new manager. We don't actually know when that's going to happen. There was talk that it was going to happen today. It's unlikely to happen this evening, I guess, but you never know. We are going to bring you an episode as soon as we can after the new manager's announced, but we do think it will be Chris Wilder. So that's coming from a few different sources, taking into account things like the odds. Nobody's talking about anyone else, which might or might not be a factor, but we do certainly think that it will be Chris Wilder. So in terms of where Reading are at with Chris Wilder at the moment, we think that he's been offered the job. This is based on information I've been getting from more than one source. So we do think he's been offered the job. We think he was at Reading last week, finalising terms, because there's all sorts of things, length of contract, all that sort of thing. We don't know 100% for certain if he signed anything. And we guess what's going to happen is that the announcement will be made pretty quickly after he signs. So there's no guarantee it's going to be Chris Wilder, but it looks like it will be. The other thing is, I know a former Football League manager who is attending tonight's LMA awards dinner. So League Managers Association awards dinner is taking place tonight. I know a former Football League manager who's attending, and he said he's going to he's going to let me know if he finds out any information. So, yes, we still do think it's going to be Chris Wilder. In terms of when that's going to happen, we think possibly this week at some point, which could mean Thursday or Friday. We don't know for sure. We don't know for 100% certainty it is going to be Chris Wilder, but we do think it will be. And if it is Chris Wilder, then Reading will have a manager who's experienced in terms of winning promotion from League One to the Championship. And he took Sheffield United from League One to the Premier League in 3 seasons. So you could say sort of 2 years. So League One, they went up one season in the Championship. And then the following season, they went up to the Premier League. So, Johnny, what's your take on what's going on? You know, how are you feeling? What do you think is going to happen? When do you think it's going to happen?
It's even more tiring than doing this, waiting for the announcement, isn't it? No, I think it seems like it's done thing as much as, you know, you hear the rumours and you forget all the betting rubbish. But, I'm sure there's a few, minor things they're ironing out maybe to sort for him. You know, it sounds like, he's the person for it. And I'm actually quite excited for this rebuild and a restart and a new approach. And, obviously he wants probably reassurances about what he can do financially wise and backroom staff wise and all that stuff that is important for a manager. And I think, let him rebuild the club. Let him do what he knows best. He's done it. And, if Bowen's there backing him and the owners, then, it's an exciting time. I know it's been a tough, few seasons really, but this is now a chance to start looking forward and League One next season is going to be interesting. There's a lot of local clubs. There's less travelling for the away fans, from Reading.
For some of the games, not all of them.
Yeah. Well, apart from Carlisle away, which we, you can look at it as a doom and gloom, or you can look at it as a fresh start. And I think it's very much a fresh start.
Hmm. And one other bit of info that I've heard, I don't know this person well enough to know how accurate this is. So certainly don't take this as being something that definitely happened, but it's certainly something that I heard, was that Ryan Mason is one of the people that's been interviewed for the Reading job. Which kind of makes sense given Brian Carey's connection at Spurs. You can kind of see how, if you look at Vincent Kompany going in at Burnley, everyone starts with their first managerial position. The experience that Ryan Mason has had at Spurs and, in interim first team manager as well, you can kind of see how that makes sense if it did happen. We don't know if that's accurate or not, but I did hear that Ryan Mason was interviewed. I don't know if that's correct. But as I say, we do think, hope and pray that it's Chris Wilder. And we think, hope and pray, that's happening very soon within the next few days, because we're all getting a bit weary of it now. And long bank holiday weekend, I don't think helped either. So yeah, let's just keep our finger on the pulse. Johnny's got his phone ready with all the alerts on. So we might get might be able to tell you as live as it happens. But yeah, could happen tomorrow, could be Friday. Johnny thinks it might be next week, don't you? But
who knows?
So that's honestly all we know. So somebody that I know who's kind of inside the game and knows a lot of people, got a really good network. Somebody I trust, who I know, who's a former Football League manager, did say that he'd been told by someone that he trusts that the job is Chris Wilder's if he wants it. And then somebody else, I heard, it's somebody with connections to the club, actually, told me about Chris Wilder being at Reading last week and finalising backroom stuff and things like that. So I'd actually be really surprised if it's not Chris Wilder. That's all I'm saying. We don't know for sure, but Johnny, what kind of percentage, out of 100, what do you think in terms of it will be Chris Wilder?
Over 90.
Yeah, I think so.
I think unless he goes, geez, that Reading. Oh no, I'm not doing them. No, I think another one. Okay, so that'll be it. I can't see it.
There was thoughts about, you know, is he holding out for the Leeds job maybe, because he's managed at Sheffield United and it's not too far away from there. But he's also managed at Oxford. You know, for all we know, he might still have a house down this way. So we'll see. We don't know for sure what's going on, really, but that's kind of the latest that we've heard. So not really an update, but obviously double relegation. Reading Women were relegated, lost on the last day of the season to Chelsea, who, by beating them, secured the WSL title. So obviously they're playing in the Championship next season. Two other bits of news that have come out in the last few days or so. There's talk of potential new owner interest in Reading. So from what we've heard, there is apparently some interest from at least one party in the Middle East. So by that, I mean there's interest from at least one party, and one of those parties is in the Middle East, apparently. We don't know. I haven't heard that from anyone that I kind of know and trust, but that's a bit of kind of, I guess you could call that a rumour that's come out. I don't know how true that is or not. The other thing which does seem to be something in the pipeline is Reading's 16-year-old forward Luca Fletcher looks set to leave Reading, possibly joining Man City for 1 million. And we've seen what's happened with Michael Olise. It's a shame to lose a player that young, that early. But I suppose if he's got a chance to go to Man City, Reading are getting £1 million. And there's a sell-on clause or something like that. It might make good business sense. I don't know. But Johnny, before we look ahead to next season, let's just sort of elaborate and have a quick recap on Series 2 of the 1871 podcast. So we started Series 2 back in February to coincide with the one-year anniversary of our first ever episode. And I can see you smiling. I know that you know what I'm going to say next about the reason why it came about, because basically Johnny said, oh, could we do another episode, even if it's a one-off, you know, coincide with the anniversary, because we started in February last year to coincide with the 150th anniversary celebrations. And then we carried on until this time last year, didn't we? So, so I thought, yeah, do you know what? Let's do an anniversary episode. So we got Brian McDermott back on, and he talked about his recovery from addiction. Really good episode that. Enjoyed that one, and great for Brian to tell his story, which he's told a few times previously, of course. And then of course it just sort of happened, turned into a series two, and then lots of episodes, and we kind of thought, do you know what? We're not going to say it's going to be on a Tuesday and Thursday evening or anything like that. We're just going to do the episodes as and when we feel like it, up as we go along, get some guests on. And, you know, we've had some great guests. And we also launched a new YouTube channel for Series 2. Johnny, you touched on it earlier. Our audiences for each episode in Series 2 have reached more than 5,000, which has been brilliant. And we also made it into the top 60 of the Apple soccer podcasts chart. So you can name it soccer. You can tag it with soccer, or you can tag it with football. If you tag it with football, you get American football as well. So we tagged it with soccer. So you've got Gary Neville's The Overlap on there. Some really well-known podcasts on there. Seaman Says. And at one point, we were above Seaman Says, which is pretty good going. So we're not in the top 60 now, I don't think, but we did get into the top 60. And for a while, we were the only Reading podcast in the top 100. Made it as high as the top 60, 58, I think we got to. So that was really good. Now, in total, including Series 1, I think I'm right in saying we've had, you're asking about episodes, Johnny. I think in total, we've had 138 episodes of the 1871 podcast. So that's Series 1 plus Series 2. And that's included, I think, a couple of repeats. So we think we did a couple of repeats for Series 2. And we've got a couple of the episodes that were audio only from Series 1 that we can put out as bonus episodes on YouTube as well. Shakir His Lot, Stuart Lovell, etc. So just to run down some of our guests, I won't name all of them, but here are kind of some of the Reading legends that we've had on, certainly. So we've had Noel Hunt. That was about, I think, 2 weeks before he came in as interim manager. So he was making his second appearance. He was also on in Series 1, as were Steve Coppell and Brian McDermott. Also Adam Lafondra. First-time guests, we had Jem Karachan, Glenn Little, Marcus Hanneman, Leroy Leiter, John Halls, John Fern. We had Simon Church back again. He was talking about his transition into life after football, which I thought was really interesting. Scott Davies we had on. Brian Teverdon was one of our most popular episodes. Talked about Ron Gourlay quite a lot on that episode. So we had a lot of interest in that one. Chris Casper, sporting director at Salford City, ex-Reading player. Ray Houghton, Linvoy Primus, Steve Mortone, Colin Lee, Simon Osborne again, Paul Holsgrove, Andy Bernal again, Trevor Senior again, Martin Hicks again, Bob Leonard Dutsey, and Reading women's defender Lily Woodham. And we've had a few special episodes. So on episode 106, we look back on, surprise, surprise, the 106 season, and to mark the 40th anniversary of the proposed merger between Reading and Oxford United in 1983. We did a special episode on that. And Johnny and I also chose our favourite Reading players, managers, games and seasons, five influential people in Reading's history. And we even selected a top five of who we thought had a chance of being appointed as Reading's new manager. And if it is Chris Wilder, Johnny was spot on because he had Chris Wilder at number one. I had Chris Wilder at number two. I'd like to kind of forget who I put at number one. We both had Chris Wilder in the top two. Johnny Adam was number one. So let's see. We also had a quiz. So our 1871 quiz champion was Chris Bennett. And we also announced Alex Blissett as our 1871 podcast superfan, and the Blissett family as our superfan family. And of course, we've been keeping up with the adventures of our co-host Dylan Kerr in South Africa, once again looking for a new job. And I don't think this has got any connection with the new manager appointment, by the way, but he is going to be in Reading at the weekend. So he's flying back from South Africa. He's going to be in Reading. So have a look at the Oracle. You might spot him. So that's Dylan Kerr. He's been on quite a lot of the episodes in Series 2. Johnny, what you kind of mentioned a couple of things earlier on, but what have been some of your, excuse me, big highlights of Series 2, would you say?
Like the first series, Mark, it's just an absolute honour and a pleasure to speak to these people, all of them, every guest we have on, and get an insight into their lives and their time at Reading or you know, the fans' ones, because they're all linked with Reading. And it's really interesting because we never kind of go, oh, this is how it's going to go as an episode. We don't sit there and go, this, and this. We just kind of go with the flow. And it's just like we said, like, you know, you ever sitting around having a conversation at the pub or something like that. And, you know, you get to, you know, all the guests have been so kind to actually open up about different things. I mean, there's a list we could go on forever. And that's, I think, a real compliment for what we do, because we allow people to talk and it just flows. And as I said, like, you know, for me, you know, someone like Scott Davis' story was huge. You know, be able to talk about his experiences and what he went through. Brian was the same. You know, those kind of things for me personally, around mental health stuff, I find fascinating and I enjoy. But also, you know, the likes of having Marcus Hanneman showing his lovely house in the snowy mountains, wherever it was. that was cool. You know, and like, I don't know, you know, it is sometimes trying to track people down for us. It is difficult, isn't it, Mark? You know, it does take time, and you know, we've been so lucky that people have said yes to coming on and speaking to us. So that means the world as well. So yeah, you know, it's having Andy back on about his time with the Central Coast Mariners now, and you know, even though people have come back on, their story's different.
Different story, yeah. Brian talked about in episode one. It was around about the time of the Legends game, so he talked about that. I think it was just after, wasn't it? Or I can't remember, but...
Yeah, somewhere around there.
He was talking about his time at the club and the Legends game, I think. And then for Series 2, he talked about his alcohol addiction, recovering from that, what he's doing to help people now. Gave a little bit of advice, you know, talk to people if you're struggling. And I think for me, what I've really enjoyed about it is, like you said, we're talking to all of our guests as people first and footballers second, in a way. So, yes, we are talking to them about their experience of their time at Reading, but that's just one part of their story.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Scott Davis. Even Simon Church opening up about he had a bit of a struggle making that transition from being a footballer and being around, you know, his teammates every day in the dressing room. And then he's kind of, you know, he's on his own a lot of the time, and he struggled a bit with that. So they're all stories about people, which I've really enjoyed. And you said about Marcus Hanneman with the snow-capped mountains in the background. He was quite happy to show us that, wasn't he? And also, we've had a couple of late nights where I think we've done episodes at 10 o'clock at night, 7 a.m. in Australia with Adam Lafondra and Andy Bernal. And obviously, last night, we had our episode focusing on mental health, which I thought was fantastic. And actually, Brian McDermott has been in touch and said that, you know, he really enjoyed the episode. And I know some people have been in touch with you as well, haven't they, Johnny, about that?
Yeah. Do you know the nice thing as well about that? It just shows you what a nice guy Brian is. He's been in touch with Connor as well, and I gave him a call.
Right, brilliant.
Yeah, just to check in with him. And, you know, and that just sums Brian up as a human being.
Yeah, and one of the best things, one of the highlights for me is we did that episode with Brian McDermott, and he talked about his addiction, his recovery from addiction. And there was a Reading fan called Dale Bradley got in touch with me about his own addiction. So alcoholic, addicted to cannabis mainly, you know, really down, doesn't know what to do. Just sort of reached out to me and said, you know, I heard your episode. It really kind of resonated with me. I put him in touch with Brian McDermott. Brian McDermott spoke to him. I don't know how many times they spoke, and I think it's at least two or three times, probably a lot more knowing Brian. And also, you know, before probably before a few months ago, I didn't really know Brian, but he was really kind because I said to him I was struggling with a bit of anxiety and stuff like that. And he was really kind. He met me, had a chat with me, you know, best counselling session I've ever had. Just a really kind man. And he's one of those people where you ask anyone, perhaps with the exception of people that don't really know him, where they couldn't get in the team or something, I don't know. But most people you speak to say, yeah, he's a really kind man. And he even said to me, he's sort of got that look about him where there's perception that he doesn't seem that happy. But he said, I am. It's just that's the way I look. So, he's just such a kind person, and he genuinely wants to help other people because he's really now grateful for what he does have in his life. So that was good just to connect him with Dale.
Yeah, and I'm saying that as well, Mark, going back to like we were saying about with Scott Davis and Brian, that they didn't speak really for 10 years because they had a bit of a falling out or whatever, and now they've reconnected in a different time. You know, and that's life, isn't it? You know, things happen. People don't know what goes on behind our faces in different times in our lives. And then, you know, people reconnect for a reason. That, for me, that, you know, those people on the fans one have been part of my life for journeys for different things. And that human element to it, that's what makes this so special for me, you know,
And Johnny, that's why we decided to do that episode last night, focusing on mental health, because, you know, we had some Reading fans on there. We had, I think, there was seven of us all together. Was it seven or eight?
Yeah.
So we did have some Reading fans. We had Dean Hooper, who played for Peterborough, Aldershot, Swindon, played non-league football for Marlow, etc. You've known him for quite a long time, so he was on there. We had a Fulham fan who's involved in Walk and Talk Men's Mental Health, the organisation that you're involved in with your walks. And it was just everyone had a different story that's unique to them. And that's what Dean Hooper was saying.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that we did that is, you know, one of our aims is that if there's someone listening who's struggling even a little bit, you know, feeling a bit down, feeling a bit anxious, whatever it might be, and it helps them just a little bit, then, you know, that's kind of a massive bonus. But it was just really good to have that conversation with all those people anyway. And if we can help other people, you know, even in a small way, that's great. And, you know, the fact that Dale got in touch and now he's in touch with Brian, and you know, we're really genuinely really pleased that we could help someone in that way, and no skin off my nose to do that. So really, really happy about that. And we're all coming from different sort of situations, unique situations. So Connor, he's got Asperger's. He talked about what happened to him when he tried to get into the Man United Reading FA Cup game. You know, I'm coming at it from the point of view where I don't have any kind of real extreme situation like a lot of other people do. But I think my situation is fairly common where, you know, I sometimes, you know, have had challenges with anxiety and low mood and stuff like that. So hopefully that's helped. You know, if it's helped one person, that's brilliant. But going back to the guests, the ex-Reading players, I kind of knew this was going to happen, but I really enjoyed the episode with Glenn Little. A lot of people were looking forward to that one. We enjoyed that one, didn't we?
Yeah. We didn't have to ask too much, did we? Just let go, Glenn.
No, and Marcus Hanneman as well. Really enjoyed that one. I thought the Jem Karachan episode was really good. You know, great to hear what he had to say about Reading and all the rest of it. Linvoy Primus, really enjoyable episode. And Brian Teverton as well, obviously, had quite a bit to say about Ron Gourlay. So that was really interesting. And like you say, Brian McDermott, Scott Davis, talking about their recovery from addiction. Excuse me. And obviously for me, going back to the mid-80s as a Reading fan, it's always brilliant to hear from Reading legends like Trevor Senior and Martin Hicks and the likes of Simon Osborne as well. And the other one, excuse me, I'm going to have to sip some water here. So, Johnny, tell me about another, while I recover with some water, tell me about another episode you enjoyed.
Oh, geez. Oh, where do you go? It's just like, there's so many. I look back and I don't get a chance to listen to all of them because of my little people. But it just takes you back after all the negativity of the last, few seasons. And it takes you back to those happier times and those moments and, what was it like to be at a certain game when we talked about our favourite games. And like for me personally, the ones where I talked about my dad, that was something that, didn't really think about until you said that's what we're looking for. I went, yeah, that actually did mean different. I mean, like there's so many games that, with people and friends, and obviously results, but that personal stuff. And like, when we talked about our, top five players and different things, and we had some similar stuff.
That was
tough.
That was,
yeah.
I mean, that was kind of, depending on what minute we started the episode, would have determined what the order was.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I've run out of water. I've got a bit of a cough going on.
Ah, okay. Like, I'll carry on. I was going to say that the most bizarre part, which was a bit spooky, which you put up, Glenn Little's episode lasted 106.
Yeah. Well, we did an episode, I think we were talking about...
Paul Ince going?
Paul Ince go. And it could have been a very short episode, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And you said yes, but we elaborated to make it a bit longer. And that was 106 as well. I think there was at least one other episode that was 106. And at one point, so it was 1 hour and 6 minutes, so 106. And obviously at some point you had 106 views of it. So
that's a little bit
spooky. But another episode that a lot of fans seem to kind of surprisingly enjoy a lot was the episode when we had David Artell, the former crew manager, on.
Yeah.
So he was on, he talked about the process that clubs go through in terms of appointing managers. And also just a reminder that all of our Series 2 episodes, they're still available to watch on YouTube or to listen to wherever you listen to your podcasts. So let's have a look to next season now. Johnny, I'm going to ask you, we don't know who the new manager is, who the new player's coming in, but how are you feeling about Reading's chances next season?
Yeah, look, it's going, it'd be interesting. I think there's, for going to some really good grounds again, we haven't been to for a long time. As a fan, there's the Cambridge, Bristol Rovers, Peterborough, some good experiences, some good games. Like we said before, talking about, how the season starts, it's going to be huge, the momentum. Obviously it's a big summer of recruitment, getting players in that, are going to fit the jigsaw that we talk about a lot with the ex-players and managers, that Reading need for this summer. And it is a huge jigsaw, sometimes the 20 pieces, we're talking about 1,000 pieces for this one, I think, because the lack of squad that we have had, and assuming that the EFL embargoes are all gone, that we can actually now invest and get a team together. And someone like Chris Wilder as a manager knows the game, knows League One, knows the Championship, knows how to play, knows what he wants, and hopefully if it is him, it sounds stupid if it isn't now. But if he comes in and, that kind of manager will build a team that's suitable for that league. We need someone that's got leadership qualities. We need players that want to play for us. We need direction and communication from the club. It's still, there's been silence since relegation, which I still think, the owners don't speak and whatever. You see other clubs do it. Those conversation pieces need to happen, I think, still. But, it's kind of going back to it when I had a bit more hair about 25 years ago to a different time. And, you know, yeah, I've put the old shirt on for Lee one day for our retro moment. That was about 2000.
Yeah,
we could do with Washington then. But anyway, you know, but those seasons were kind of fun as well. You know, that, you know, we talked about it on, you know, with the different players. You know, we had, you know, this season's shirt from memory was we had Caskey playing and, you know, Cureton and Butler up front. You know, they were good seasons. And I think that's the positive about this is that we could go back and start again, build a really good team that can do what other clubs have done in the last few years. Sheffield United, Plymouth have come back up, Luton. You know, there's all these teams out there. You know, we're not on a mission impossible to say that, oh, we can't go back. There's every opportunity to do it if it's done right with the right people in place and the right structure and the right teamwork and da-da-da-da-da. So you can sit there and be miserable and go, well, we've been relegated and it's all gloom and gloom. Or you can go, it's a chance to look forward. It's a chance to go, we've got a chance here to do what we did for the last 16 years that were pretty good. The last eight we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But we could do that. We could do that again and actually rebuild the club. Obviously, it's not going to be the same as all, you know, all the great people that we've had on the Copples and the Pardews and the Pardews teams, all that kind of stuff. It's a different time, different era in football, but we could have that same togetherness back. And I think, you know, one thing I think, you know, as Way fans go into, I mean, obviously I don't live locally, so I'm not saying I'm a plastic fan, but I am. But going to games where, you know, you've got smaller away ends. You know, you're sitting with, you know, the amazing Way fans that have gone to everywhere this season, the last few seasons, Middlesbrough away. You know, you've got 400 people in a large away end.
Yeah.
This time round, we'd be going into, you know, the little kind of places like Peterborough, Cambridge, where you can really get almost back to the old Elm Park days where you're going to have,
yeah,
agree. You know, and people, there'll be more away fans because there's a lot of grounds that are closer to get to and things, and that we're really creating that atmosphere that we had at some of those seasons. You know, that will only inspire the team and the manager.
Agreed.
If
Agreed.
They give us back enjoyable football, and you know, we get on a winning run maybe at the start of the season, but you know, Chris Wilder, if it is him, you know, right, that you go, here's a manager. I don't think anyone would go, oh, well, we've got him. Because he knows what he's doing.
Well, there's a few. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But like, it's a chance. It's a chance to rebuild. It's a chance to look forward. It's a chance to do good. We start with a clean slate, yeah, and you go, let's make the most of it. We're on the League One party. Let's go and enjoy the game.
And look at, I watched the playoff games at the weekend, and you've only got to look at Carlisle, for example, and, you know, obviously, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley get into the playoff final. You know, if you're a Sheffield Wednesday fan or a Carlisle fan, it's been a brilliant season with a brilliant ending. Not so much for the teams that lost in the final. It's heartbreaking. We know all about that.
Yeah, we won't do playoffs next season.
But, you know, that kind of gives me hope. I do think there's a chance that, you know, I was just looking at some of the players and, I'll come to that a bit later, but some of the players, and you put them in League One, some of the younger players as well who've had championship experience. So look, before we talk a bit more about players and teams and stuff like that, just want to look ahead to some of the key dates for Reading for next season. So the League One fixtures will be announced on Thursday, June the 22nd at 9 a.m. And that, by the way, is supposedly a fact. It's not a Chris Wilder type rumour. So, yes, the League One fixtures will be announced on Thursday, June the 22nd at 9 a.m. And the season will start on the first weekend of August. So the chances are that Reading will play their first game in the third tier for 21 years on Saturday, August the 5th. So stick that in your diary, or potentially on Friday, August the 4th. And Reading have announced their first friendly. It's a behind closed doors game away to Bristol City on Wednesday, 12th of July. And Reading also have a friendly lined up away to Sutton United on July the 15th. And here's a date worth noting for your diaries. The League One playoff final is on Saturday, May the 18th.
Thanks for that, Mark. Yeah, great.
Just a note. We've had some experience, and you never know. You know, we've only got to finish in the top six, isn't it?
Yeah.
To have a chance of that. But ideally go up automatically or do a derby and then go up the following season. Johnny, just a quick question. What do you think the aim for Reading is next season in terms of where they can finish? What's going to be a good season?
To be honest, any Reading fan go anything better than you've had the last few years. You know, you'd rather be around movies,
maybe. Win more than we lose.
Yeah. Actually, win a game would be nice. You know, start off basic. But I think, you know, aside from, you know, all the problems we've had, you know, we said it before about, you know, it being a fairly big club, that there's an opportunity with if everything was in place, if you've got the manager right and you've got the squad right and you've got the behind-the-scenes stuff right, you've got the academy stuff right, you'd go for around the playoffs. That would be good. I don't say, yeah, you could, you know, top two would be brilliant. We're Reading fans, I'm being realistic. But I think you go, if we're around the playoffs, like we used to be in the old days when we were always around that you know, you're going, yeah, we were in with a chance. We're at the end of the season, we've got a chance of going up, we've got a chance for the playoffs. You go, yeah, and you're winning games. And that is as basic as that, isn't it? Winning games and actually having a team to watch. That you go, I want to go and watch
positive,
them play.
Isn't it? Yeah, a bit positive.
Yeah. You know,
and then if you're still in with a shout of the playoffs towards the end of the season, It's a different kind of atmosphere, isn't it? Yeah. And, you know, we've got, I think, we don't know yet who the new players coming in will be. You know, people are talking about Billy Sharp and all the Sheffield United connections, if Chris Wilder comes in, obviously. But I think the good thing is, you know, Thursday is June the 1st. There's just over 2 months until the start of the season. If the new manager comes in or is announced this week, that's 2 months to get new players in, to sort out, you know, to prepare for the start of the season. You know, that for me is good timing. Come to the end of the season, the players have a break. Obviously, a lot of players have left. So just looking at some of the players that have gone, obviously, Scott Dan, Luke Southwood, Shane Long, Liam Moore, Lucas Yao, Dejan Tetek, they've all left, I think, haven't they?
Yeah.
At the end of June, I think George Puskas, I think he is definitely joining Genoa, but still technically he's a Reading player until the end of June, I think. I believe Nestor Guinness-Walker had a clause activated. That means he's staying, which is good news, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I like him. He's a good player.
And I don't know if these next three players have accepted, but they've certainly all been offered contracts. Yaku Mite, Amadou Mbenge, and Junior Hoylett. So they've all been offered new contracts. We don't know yet. I don't know if they're waiting to see who the new manager is or anything like that, but we don't know. So let's go. Let's have a look at some of the players who are on contract, Johnny. You've got Tom Holmes, Tom McIntyre, Andy Yeardom, Nestor Guinness-Walker, we've mentioned. Naby Sarr actually looked one of our better players towards the end of last season. Kelvin Abrefa. Ovi Ajari is an interesting one. Do you see him staying at Reading?
I don't. I mean, he's not done anything that goes, wow, we want to sign him. And I don't mean that, you know, it's anything personally towards him. He hasn't had a great season. I don't know what number behind the scenes. He had injuries and everything that went on.
He's been injured, hasn't he?
Yeah, and then he didn't, you know, some falling out with Ince, but then, you know, who's Ince to be, you know, judging other people? He's got the talent. He's got the, you know, the ability. It's about the other side of the game, I think, for him, you know, getting knuckling down. And League One's going to be harder than the Championship. You're not going to get away. You can't carry players in football. So you need 11 players on the pitch. That, you know, I think, you know, Scott was talking about it the other day about Chris Wilder. People running through walls for him as a manager. And so people that haven't run through walls, he said, I think that then they were working for him. He makes them run through walls. And Chris
or,
knows.
Or they don't play.
Yeah. And that's basically it. And I think, you know, this is
That's what the fans want, isn't it?
Yeah, we've had too many players and too much stuff going on off the pitch about, again, I'm not slating any of them personally, but, you know, Liam Moore situation, that whatever went on with him. Like, you know, you could go through a lot of them, but it's like, but that's done. You know, we've had stupid contracts, we've had stupid situations. Draw a line, start again in the summer. Let's get the right mentality type players in. Let's get the right fit for the club players in. Yeah. And people that want to play for the club, and people that will we want to watch as fans. That's the beauty of it.
And as a starting point in terms of where the goals might come from, so this for me feels quite encouraging, because Chris Wilder, obviously, if it is him, he'll want to bring in his own players. He'll have to. But if you look at who we've got, where the goals might come from, we've got Andy Carroll, Femi Azeez, Kelvin Ehi Batiaman, I think is how you say it. That's a good starting point, isn't it? And we do think Andy Carroll's staying, don't we?
Well, I hope so. I mean, like, there's the thing that's come out this week. Again, you know, you don't know if it's true or not, but like someone like Tom Ince apparently got a £50,000 relegation clause contract that he can go for.
Apparently, John, it's not. It's actually didn't have anything to do with relegation. It's just a 50,000 get out clause, from what I heard. Yeah,
and which is like, you know, the way we were last season, beggars can't be choosers. So basically, you're getting anyone. You know, we were lucky to get him in, but the player's going to look after his own interests at the end of the day, because that's what players do, and fair play to them. So, you know, that's the circumstances that we're working under. You know, he doesn't want to play League One football. I don't blame him. That's what he wants to do. But all we need now is that group of players to want to play for the club, want to be part of a journey that the manager wants them to be in, like we've done before, like the managers that we've talked about and the people that we've talked about we've had on, being part of a Reading FC journey that's funny positive, and you want to be there, and you want to play, and you want to show you how good you are for the fans, and that's what we want to see. We've had so much crap the last few years of players that just, you know, inflated squads, too much money, and it's just been everyone I think is just fed up of it.
Yeah, and also one thing that we have got to look forward to, which is pretty much guaranteed, whoever the new manager is. Whether it's Chris Wilder or, surprise, surprise, someone else, there will be new players coming in that we don't know who they are yet, that will become Reading, not necessarily legends. It depends how the team gets on, of course. But there will be players that come in and make a positive impact for Reading, whether it's goals or, you know, whatever it might be. That we might be talking about in years to come, you know, on a podcast or something.
Yeah. My daughter's podcast in 25 years' time, Reading Legends of the 2020s.
Yeah. And my guest this week is Johnny Hunt, who used to watch Reading in black and white back in the old days, social media. But that's going to happen, Johnny. People, you know, I remember watching Lucas Yao, Reading home to Sheffield Wednesday towards the end of, I don't even know when it would have been. It was might have been the 2018-19 season. And he scored for Sheffield Wednesday, and then he signed for Reading. And obviously it didn't end well, but he did well for Reading for a while. Tom Ince did well for us last season. We're going to get, I mean, you know, chances are it might be Andy Carroll that is kind of our big name player for next season. But, you know, we might get someone else. We kind of hope that there's a bit of a mixture of youth and experience. So, yeah, you know, you mentioned like Femi Azeez, Kelvin Batiaman, Kelvin Abrefa, etc. Nabi Sarr, I think people really like. And then you've also got players like Jamari Clark, Jack Senga. I think we might need to bring in a new keeper. We've got Dean Bazanis, Jokel Anderson, and Connor Boyce Clark. I'm not sure is it Connor? You pronounce his first name? Not sure.
That's right. Yeah,
Connor Boyce Clark played last game of the season, didn't he? I think.
Yeah.
So and then we don't know. We're going to look forward to signing some new players and for them to become kind of players that we're talking about in a positive way, hopefully.
I think players that are going to be hungry, you know, I think the problem in the championship, that, you know, we've had the issues around, like, you know, Ron Gawley and just people getting contracts and stupid money and not really earning them. Now players will go, oh, I've got a chance to go and play at Reading. You know, if they play in League Two and you know, there's a what am I playing there? I'm playing under a manager like Chris Wilder, if it is Chris Wilder, God, if it isn't Chris Wilder, sorry, mate. But like, it's people, you know, there's an opportunity there at Reading now for players that can go, yeah, geez, it's a good stadium. It's a good setup. There's a good, you know, we've got, you know, Noel Hunt there with the under 23s. And there's a chance for them something to progress. And, you know, and there's an opportunity there to get the crowds back if they play the right football. It's a real kind of watershed moment, if that's the right word, where something really positive could happen.
I think so.
And there's so many good players, League One, League Two, that would do a great job for Reading if they're the right, like, you know, you see it with guys like Nestor Guinness-Walker. I think he's got the potential to be a really good player.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, that, and he was League One the season before he came to Reading. You know, there's more out there, untried talent. You go, yeah, this could be fun. This could be really enjoyable to watch these guys play.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's really encouraging and positive for me is that we've had, you know, the head of recruitment in place, Brian Carey, you know, for a year. We've had Mark Bowen in place, director of football, sporting director, whatever his official title is, for a year. And the reason for that is to do with putting the right processes in place, building foundations. And then they've hopefully identified the right type of manager that Reading needs, and then found and identified and recruited that type of manager. Yeah. So identifying the type of manager before identifying an actual manager is the right way around to do it. And we've been doing it. We've been missing out the first bit. You know, Veljko Paunović, it sounded like, a bit like, you know, an agent was saying, oh, I've got you a manager, you know, directly to the owner. And that's one of the reasons it went wrong. So we seem to be, you know, going in the right direction, and it looks like things are happening as they should do. And you look at clubs like Brighton and Brentford, you know, the way that Brighton do it, that's kind of the model for everyone. You know, Man City is different because of all the resources they've got, and obviously those big clubs. But Brighton is a model that every club can look to. And it's about
Luton as well. You look at Luton, what the resources they've got, and what they've done is unbelievable.
Brentford as well.
It can be done without throwing millions.
Because Luton by no means had the biggest budget, you know, and look what happened to them. Fantastic. So, you know, why can't that be Reading in within a few seasons? We've done it before.
Yeah.
We had solid foundations put in place before with Sir John Medeski. Why can't we do it again? And, you know, there's a rumour of a new owner and all this sort of thing as well. So
we just need stability and we need a plan. Yeah, we need to look forward. And that's, you know, it's basics.
Feels like I get the feeling that Reading are taking that side of things seriously, you know, putting foundations in place. So look, Johnny, I want to just mention a couple of changes with the cup competitions now that Reading are in League One. So we'll take place in this is like good old-fashioned, old-style football, brings back a few memories from the old days. We'll take part in the EFL Trophy, a.k.a. the Papa John's Trophy. So that's for League One and League Two clubs, plus Premier League clubs' academy teams. So it's a chance to play in the final at Wembley. Reading will be among the favourites for that. So Reading reached the semi-finals in 2000, lost to Bristol City. It's split regionally into a north and south section, so we won't play Carlisle early on, which is good, I think, on a Tuesday night. So there's 8 groups of 4 in each section, and the games are regional up to the quarterfinals. The top 2 in each group go through to the last 32. So the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, West Ham, Brighton and Crystal Palace will be among the under 21 sides that Reading could meet in the group stages. Last year's winners were Bolton. They beat Plymouth 4-0 in the final at Wembley in front of 79,000. And by the way, it's not the same as the full Members' Cup, which only ran for seven seasons between 1985 and 1992. Reading won in 1988 when it was a Simog Cup. And I think Reading are only one of only five winners, because I think Chelsea won it twice. I think there's another team that won it twice. I can't remember, but certainly Chelsea won it twice. But that's a different competition, so that's not the same. And Reading will play in the first round of the FA Cup in November, not the third round, because League One and League Two teams are in the first round. So that is November, and the first round draw will take place after one of the live games in the fourth qualifying round. So there's a much increased chance of Reading playing a non-league side, because, you know, by very definition, a lot of non-league sides go through to round one. So that would be interesting. Accrington Stanley away or something like that.
Or Slough Town.
Yeah. Maiden Edge United, maybe. Be interesting, won't it? So look, we know now after the playoffs at the weekend, the full lineup for League One. So here are Reading's opponents for next season in alphabetical order. Barnsley, Blackpool, Bolton, Bristol Rovers, Burton Albion, Cambridge, Carlisle, Charlton, Cheltenham, Derby, Exeter, Fleetwood, Leighton Orient, Lincoln, Northampton, Oxford, Peterborough, Portsmouth, Port Vale, Shrewsbury, depending on what part of the country you're from, I think, Stevenage, Wickham, and, of course, Wigan. So the teams relegated from the Championship last season were obviously Reading, Blackpool and Wigan, and the teams promoted to League One from League Two for next season are Leighton Orient, Stevenage, Northampton and Carlisle, who won the playoff final to go up into League One. And the teams that are still in League One after losing out in the playoffs are Bolton, Peterborough and, of course, Barnsley. Now, we already know that Wigan will be bottom of League One after the first two games, because they were deducted 4 points and then another 4 points. So they start on -8. But of course, what we don't know is if there are, you know, any more points deductions for Wigan or any other clubs. So as it stands, Wigan are definitely bottom of the table after two games, because they start on -8 points, if my maths is correct. Yeah. So Reading will play Blackpool, Wigan, Derby and Peterborough again after Blackpool and Wigan were relegated from the Championship last season. And Derby and Peterborough were relegated from the Championship the season before last. And, of course, Reading will play Barnsley again after they lost in the League One playoff final. And that was, I mean, you know, for Sheffield Wednesday, what a way to go up, you know. Yeah. Four down against Peterborough. And they go up with a goal in the last minute of stoppage time from Josh Windass. Dean Windass's dad kind of did the same for Hull, I think, in the playoff final, didn't he? So, you know, That's why we love football, because that stuff happens. And everyone thought it was going to be all three games going to penalties, but before that happened. And just to confirm, it's two automatic promotion places from League One, with four teams competing in the playoffs and four teams relegated to League Two. So in terms of local derbies and longest trips, so the local derbies are as follows. Wickham, 21 miles via the A404 or 33 miles via the M4. So that's going to be approximately 35 to 45 minutes, depending on which way you go.
Unless you're walking.
Yeah, you might be walking. take you longer than that. Actually, it might be less miles because you go more of a direct route. I don't know. Oxford is the other one, 26 miles. Or if you go via the M40, it's a lot more. It's 49 miles. So it's approximately 40 minutes to an hour to get to Oxford. This is by car. And then also not too far away, you've got Portsmouth, Charlton, Leighton Orient, Stevenage, Bristol Rovers, and Cheltenham, not too far away. The longest trips, obviously, with Carlisle going up, that's the longest trip by quite a long way, 318 miles from Reading to Carlisle by car. So it's going to take you, depending on how fast you drive and how many stops you make along the way, it's going to be sort of 5.5, 6 hours, something like that. Fleetwood is the next longest journey, 253 miles. So that's by car, four and a half, 5 hours, maybe more. Blackpool, of course, 4 miles left, 249 miles. So a similar sort of journey. And then, you know, a few other long trips, Wigan and Bolton, Barnsley, Lincoln and Exeter. You touched on it earlier, Johnny, in terms of the ground capacity is quite a big differential in League One. So you've got Derby, 33,500. Actually, Reading have got one of the biggest capacities.
Yeah.
So you've got Derby, 33,500. Bolton, 28,700. Charlton is 27,000. Wigan, 25,000. And then Reading, 24,000. Just a bit more than Barnsley and Portsmouth. So Portsmouth have got 20,000.
Yeah, no, some good ground. There's some old fashioned stadiums. You know, the Cambridge is away, Peterborough away. Ones for me that would be ones I look forward to going to. Walking wise, I've planned to do Reading to Cambridge back in the old days of watching us play against Dave Kitson. Been a while, and then you know Exeter again, another club that you know, some of these clubs we haven't played again for a long time, you know, the Oxfords, Wickham, you know, we used to have some real battles with Wickham, 5-3, I think we lost away to them back in those days in League One. You know, so look, it again, like we said earlier, like you can look at it as, oh, God, we're in League One. You can actually look at it like, we'll play League One and go enjoy it. Go enjoy the games where, you know, for people, especially on a serious note, like, you know, financially wise, you know, it's a lot of money. And fair, like I said, you know, people that travel to all the away games, amazing to do that. They've been doing all these miles and driving or trains or whatever. And now there is some more local games that people can go to, which means the crowds will be bigger. And you know, which will feed into the team when they're playing. You know, you go to Oxford away, and that, you know, that's going to be a brilliant atmosphere. Wickham away is going to be a brilliant atmosphere. It'll be a real proper old school kind of games and atmospheres, which you know you can look forward to and go and like, you know, and it will feed the energy. You know, and that's fun. That's exciting. That's what football's about. You know, we've been through so many ups and downs as Reading fans in our lives. This is just another part of the next journey.
And just a quick thank you to you, Johnny, because my voice went then. So you stepped in. I don't know if it was seamless or not, but I have got a bit of a cough. So apologies.
Doing it again.
you mentioned, I think, earlier, Johnny, some of these grounds, some of these away games would be a bit like the old days at Elm Park.
Yeah, absolutely.
You look at Fleetwood, just over 5,000 capacity. By the way, if my voice gives out, then carry on, Johnny.
No worries.
I'm struggling a bit. Burton Albion is 7,000. Cheltenham, 7,000. Northampton and Stevenage just under 8,000. So we've got some encouraging signs, actually, because all three of the teams that come down from the Championship the season before last, so not the one just gone, but the one before, Barnsley, reached the playoff final. Peterborough lost it in the playoff semis against Sheffield Wednesday. Gave away a 4-0 lead from the first leg. Derby finished seventh, 1 point outside the playoffs, which is where Reading finished the season before last, wasn't it?
Yeah, like it is. And like that's, you know, there's the opportunity for player, you know, for the teams to aim for it. And, you know, again, it's not you're going to get a league where the results are going to be random. You know, like every league in football, it's a competitive league. Yeah, like there's some good teams and there's some big teams, but the big teams don't have a divine right to go back up. Derby yeah. haven't. You know, you got a 30,000 ground, and you've got this. And you've got they've had players come down. You know, that would be good players. But it's more than players. It's a whole package that you have to have yeah. to get out of these leagues, and that's what Reading had previously. And we need to find that again. That is done.
What I was going to say, Johnny, was in terms of the bookmakers are already giving odds for next season. Obviously, we're going to wait who the new manager is, who the players coming in are. But Derby are the favourites. They're kind of around about 5-1 at the moment. Bolton, Barnsley, Peterborough among the favourites. Reading among the favourites. Reading at the moment, you can get 10-1, followed by Portsmouth. So, based on the current odds, the bookmakers think Reading have got a good chance of finishing inside the playoffs. Relegation favourites are Cheltenham, Cambridge, Fleetwood, Carlisle and Burton. Johnny, three questions. Where do you think Reading will finish? Question number two is, which team do you think will win the league? And which team, one or more teams to go down from League One?
I think we'll finish top 10 at minimum. I think, that's just what minimum expectation with a decent manager in charge, whoever that is. Maybe some bloke that used to manage Sheffield United, I don't know. But yeah, that will be success. Look, real success will be playoffs and more. But, I'm trying to be realistic about what we can do. Teams that could win it, again, it's the championship. Thing. You League One probably slightly different is in the budgets wise. You haven't got the money, clubs coming down for the Premier League with the big money like the Burnleys and all these other stuff. So you can say it's a bit more of a level playing field, I think. Even though you've had, us coming down, yeah. Wigan have already coming down with 8-point deduction. So there's not going to be that runaway team. There's not going to be a team that's going to wipe out Barnsley. They're there and thereabouts, a decent team. But there's a whole summer ahead of recruitment, and all of these clubs, whatever their budgets are going to be going, we've got to go here, we've got to go there.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite funny that they're putting out odds on who's going to be doing whatever now.
I do think I can see Derby either going up automatically or certainly being in the playoffs. I think Bolton will be there.
Yeah, it's momentum. There's going to be sides that have been built. That's it. Peterborough. Yeah, Peterborough are a side that I think, that they, they'll learn from, lot of teams learn from losing in the playoffs to get to the next step. And I think that's a certain club that they don't go stupid spending money. They just build, and they've got a decent manager there, Ferguson. And clubs going down, it's easy to say that, the club like Cambridge and whatever, and Stevenage or Orient maybe. I don't see that gap that you have in the championship. There's not the budgets might be slightly bigger, slightly smaller, but not the same within the championship. So teams that have come up are on a momentum. You've got Orient built, Stevenage. They'll be up for it, and it will be close. You won't see a team, I don't think, 30 points behind with 10 games to go. I think it's going to be a real. There'd be a good group. You've got so many good clubs in there, Portsmouth and the teams that.
Final question. Who's going to give me the final order, 1, 2, 3 of the Thames Valley League? So Wickham, Oxford, Reading.
They actually even count? I don't think.
Who's going to finish top of those three?
The Battle of the Winners Triangle. Well, it has to be only one club after Reading, of course, doesn't it?
I'm going to confidently predict Reading a finish above Wickham or Oxford. I think the order will be Reading, Oxford, Wickham, actually.
Wickham will be interesting to see how they perform, with the new manager behind them for the whole of the summer. Oxford the same. But it will be, again, back in those days when we played against Oxford, and it was a real battles. There'd be a bit of extra pride there, but then I think football's different than guys. We go what players that play now. We are like, why are Reading and Oxford?
Wickham and Oxford are going to have a point to prove against Reading, I think.
Yeah, yeah, It'll fire them up. It'll fire the teams up to play. And it'd be great. It'd be the banter.
I'm looking forward to the local derbies. Yeah. So look, apologies for my coughing fit. Thanks for stepping in and helping me out.
I think you need a holiday, Mark.
I need a holiday. So we're waiting to see when that new manager announcement will be. As I said earlier in the episode, we've told you kind of all that we know, all that we've heard. We don't really know too much, but we do think, hope and pray it'll be Chris Wilder, and we think it might happen this week. But we'll see. Look, Johnny, that's it for series two. So just want to say thank you firstly to Dylan Kerr for joining us on quite a few of the episodes. Thank you, of course, to you, Johnny, for being my co-host and also stepping in as host on a few occasions and having me on as a guest last night. That was interesting.
It's always been a pleasure, mate. It's always been fun.
Yeah, and to Yoon and Carr as well. He's been a co-host for a couple of episodes. And really just say a huge thank you to all of our guests. And, of course, thank you so much to those of you who've listened in to the 1871 podcast and watch the episodes on YouTube. And a quick thank you note. We had Jonathan Lowe on as a guest, so thank you to him. And thank you as well to James Earnshaw at the Reading Chronicle for not only being a guest, but for his support. He's put out a few stories about, you know, things that our guests have said. So he put something out about Scott Davis talking about Chris Wilder and stuff. So thank you to James Earnshaw at the Reading Chronicle. And a reminder to you that all Series 2 episodes are still available to watch on YouTube, and you can still listen to all Series 2 and Series 1 episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. And as Series 1 was audio only, we'll be adding a few bonus episodes from Series 1 on our YouTube channel for you. And as I say, whenever the new manager is... whoever it is, and we do think it's going to be Chris Wilder, we'll be putting out another episode. But apart from that, this is our final episode. So for now, Johnny, until the next one, that's it. And again, thank you to all of you for watching and listening to the 1871 podcast.
Been a pleasure.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.